politics, life. Cross Kitchens, Kansas City's home remodeler, presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at crosskitchenskc.com.
Well, we got quite a reaction to Monday's broadcast, leading with Rashee Rice and the Kansas City Chiefs and what they will do to get this player on the field this year. And not surprisingly, everyone who listened to the podcast was okay with my comments. Seemed to be just fine. I didn't hear really from any listeners who said, hey, well, this is off base. We don't like what you're saying. You're a hater, blah, blah, blah. Throughout my career, I've been known in the world of sports to tell the truth about teams and things that have happened at teams, how the sausage is made and things like that. And fans react saying you're a hater, you're despicable, you're disgraced, you're a horrible human being, you're a terrible dad, you're this, you're that. It's been really something to see. Something you'd expect in politics, but certainly not something you expect in sports. But it does occur, and yesterday it occurred again. If you noticed at some point last week, many of you that are on X noticed that I'm starting to do most days a video on X from my studio right here about the top topic on the day's podcast, saying if you want to hear more about this topic, it's usually the lead story. Here it is. Here's what I think. I give you a little nugget. It's a minute long. And go listen to the podcast. I'm just trying to promote the podcast on X. I've got 20,000 followers there. Plenty of people see when I put things up. So I started doing that last week, and most of last week it was just fluff. Hey, the Chiefs are great at what they do. They went and got this rugby player from Wales. They're really great at the offseason. I like to point out when people are really good at what they do. That one got a few thousand views. It was nice. A couple of people, you know, hit the little like button, the heart button. Okay, that's sweet. Kevin saying nice things about the Chiefs. It doesn't really gain any traction. On Monday, after I did the podcast, about an hour later, I post a video where I say the Chiefs are the best fixers in the NFL. They're going to take care of this thing, just like you never found out what happened with Britt Reed getting drunk at work and almost killing that girl. Just like we don't know what happened with Frank Clark and his double felony gun charges and these things. So I put it all in a nice, neat little one-minute deal. I said, the first thing they're going to do is try to keep all the information away from us, keep him out of legal trouble, and then beg to the NFL to not suspend him more than four games for doing something stupid, which clearly he was involved in something stupid and is now retained a lawyer. We'll have more on that coming up in a moment. So I put this out there, and people start viewing it. And I don't read the responses. And I'm told there's actually a way that I can turn off people responding to what I do. And I may look into that, although I'm not a big proponent of canceling free speech. If people want to hate me, I guess I don't really care. So I don't read what comes back. But on the little front page, I can see how many people hit the like button and how many people hit the comment button. It just keeps a tally going all day. And it's well up, I don't know what it's up into, the dozens and dozens and dozens comment and or like, and they're running about 50-50. That's called being ratioed. That means I'm getting clobbered on Twitter. I don't know what the number is that you want. It's 5-1 or 10-1. You want more people liking your post than commenting on your post, because comments apparently are almost always negative. People don't go to comment something positive. They go to comment something negative. If they like something positive, they just hit the heart button and it, ooh, I liked you. I give you a thumbs up and I liked what I heard. 50-50 apparently is the death knell, or was previously the death knell, of X. Now, I will tell you that I wear this like a badge of honor. I don't think everyone should like what I say. I don't want everyone to like what I say. So I doubled down 3 or 4 hours later, reposted the video, and said, shocking, there's no retweets here. I can't imagine why nobody in the Kansas City media has retweeted what I've had to say about what the Chiefs will do with Rashee Rice. Now, that one has as many views and more retweets as the original one, and I'm still getting ratioed. It's half and half. Half the people like it, half the people hate it. I figure I'm doing my job if that's where I am. I've always felt that way. So I'm watching this day blow up, and in less than 24 hours, there's almost 30,000 views of this video that I did yesterday. A normal video last week was getting, I think, about 8,000 or 9,000 views. This one got this one will wind up getting 5 or 6 times more than that. So clearly people are sharing it, saying, look what he said. Watch this. They're sending it to their friends going, watch this. But then they're probably posting something really bad about me. And again, I'm okay with you posting really bad things about me. My friends are not. They're like, we can't believe that. I said, why do you read it? I've got a buddy whose wife says she's addicted to reading the comments about me after I post something on X. I said, well, I'm not sure that's healthy for you. We're friends. You know me. You like me. You know who and what I am. They don't. Why do you care what they say? And I think we're really in a strange place in America when we talk about media and where this is all going. If we have, and listen, I couldn't be more of an outlier on this. Even with many conservatives, I'm an outlier on this. I do not care what my ratio is. I do not care what people say about me. I work for myself. I work for you. I do a podcast. If people like it, they like it. I like it to work for the sponsors. That's always a good thing. We'd like to have a successful business, but I'm not going to change what it is that I do in order to get likes and kudos and whatever else there is in social media to feel beloved and have the proper ratio. I've mentioned before, there are people that will not come on this podcast because they don't like my ratio. They look at X and go, you get ratioed, I'm not coming on your podcast. I'm like, what kind of human being are you that you give, these are people that I know, you give complete and total whack job strangers more credibility than somebody you've known for years and won't come on the podcast. This is astounding to me. This might be the biggest indictment of our media in this country ever, and it happens on the right as well. Immediately last night, when the LSU women were not on the floor for the national anthem, far-right people on social media, X, whatever, you know who a lot of these people are, lost their minds that LSU was making some sort of political statement about not being on the floor for the national anthem. I didn't post a thing. I'm like, that doesn't sound right to me. They've been through a lot. They're getting ready to play a game. I don't think there's a lot of that going on out there right now. Anthem kneeling and whatnot. I don't see a lot of that happening in America because Biden's president. You can't really do that when he's president because we have to love the country right now because the Democrats are in charge. That will start again when Trump wins. So it didn't resonate with me, but people on the right went absolutely bonkers on this thing. And they're trying to get their followers to retweet them, like them, love them, jump the gun on anything just for effect in social media. This is not good for us. There's no stopping it. It's First Amendment. There's no halting it. I don't know how we change it other than maybe educate people that likes and retweets and people commenting hate is not the reason you post something. The reason you post something is you want the maximum number of people to see it and to get people talking about it, thinking about it, whatever. If they don't like you, great. If they do like it, fine. I don't understand. It's the tail wagging the dog in the media. That's all this has become. And that's what the Rashee Rice story became for me yesterday. We're going to be, I think by the time I'm done recording this today, we'll probably be over 30,000 views of the short little video that I posted promoting my podcast. This is a local podcaster promoting his podcast and 30,000 people watching it and going absolutely bonkers over it. But I guess I'm not surprised because I told the truth. What doesn't happen very often out there is the truth. And I really want that to be what I do. When I comment, when I post a video later today about today's podcast, it'll probably be based about the media because this is what I'm talking about here at the start. But it was a very, very strange reaction to Rashee Rice, who clearly is a busy man right now trying to keep himself out of jail. He has, as I predicted on the podcast yesterday, the Chiefs are going to throw down on this thing like you've never seen. Mark Donovan was on with Pete Mundo yesterday on KCMO Talk Radio. Toriano Porter, the esteemed suspended reporter at the Kansas City Star, has written an opinion piece about how talent won't save Rashee Rice. Toriano Porter doesn't know the Chiefs. Talent will save Rashee Rice. He's wrong. And he even wrote down in his column the wrong radio station that Pete Mundo works at. That's how I don't know how Toriano Porter at the Kansas City Star has a job. This guy is inept. He is clueless. He's insanely wrong on his opinion, and he got facts wrong within it. And he got in a fight with the subject of an interview and got suspended. How is he still working there other than DEI? How's Toriano Porter working at the Kansas City Star other than DEI? They are sinking, and they are sinking fast. That paper is all but shuttered and done. But Mark Donovan, the president of the Chiefs, was on with Pete Mundo. And he said exactly, if you'd asked me, what do you think Mark Donovan, he's going to be the first one to comment, will say. We don't have all the facts. We're still gathering them, but we'll react accordingly. And Mark Donovan went on with Pete Mundo and says, we don't have all the facts yet, but we're gathering them and we'll react accordingly. It's exactly what he said. The Chiefs are really good at this. And there's nothing wrong with that. Don't take it the wrong way. Their job is to get their football player on the field. Yeah, I mean, we'd like to think their job is to keep their players from, apparently the Lamborghini was rented, we're now learning. The Corvette was registered in his name. They went and rented a Lamborghini and decided to race the two. That's what it looks like, is that they rented the Lambo from one of these exotic car places and decided to go race. The Chiefs' playbook is the same every time. You defend, you exonerate, and then you work with the NFL to keep whatever Roger Goodell suspend. They're going to boo Roger Goodell at the draft because, oh, the Chiefs say Rashee Rice is great. They defended him. They exonerated him. He didn't hurt anybody. It was daylight. It wasn't like it was the middle of the night, so he wasn't drunk or messed up. And no, they don't have any proof that they had any guns. But Roger Goodell's going to suspend him, and Roger Goodell's the bad guy. The Chiefs will work so hard with Roger Goodell to make this a two-game suspension or the smallest possible thing you've ever seen. They've gone to work on it. They defend, they exonerate, and then they work with the league to mitigate any difficult situation for the team. And that's what the Chiefs are doing. And I'm just a guy telling people this. It's seriously, it's like other members of the Kansas City media have three eyeballs or something, or they're aliens. I say things and they're like, what's wrong with that guy? I can't even believe when I say these things that people react like, He's a crazy man. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't know anything. I've been covering this for 40 years. I've watched the Chiefs fix player problems for 40 years, and nobody else in the media is even willing to admit that the Chiefs do this, that this is part of their business, that it is a major part of every NFL's team's business, is to fix your problems and keep your roster intact. Shohei Ohtani's situation comes along to the Dodgers. That's not something they ever planned for. They don't know what to do. They've bungled this thing from the start. The Chiefs, there will be no missteps. Have you noticed how quiet it is? Here's the question I have for Mark Donovan. Has the team ever told its players, if you're involved in an accident where something nefarious is going on, walk away from it? Because the DUI or the drugs or the guns will ultimately be a bigger problem than walking away. I want to know if the team has educated them to do that. That is a legitimate question. I don't have the answer. I want to ask the question. I'll never get the answer. I don't think, but I think it's a legitimate question. These are the things I think people need to know. We're talking about a team whose head coach's son got drunk at work coaching for the team and almost killed a girl, and they have never told us what happened. We've never learned what happened. Never. Never. Not one thing do we know happened with Britt Reed that day, or if other people were drinking, or if there was a party at work, or if Andy Reid threw the party for the coaches like people say he did. We don't know this. They will never, ever say, man. They're really good at this, and it's got people in an uproar, but I think the most alarming thing for everyone in this audience, because you guys listen every day, you know what I'm about, and I think you either like it or appreciate it or you wouldn't listen. The most alarming thing to me is that I am such an outlier minority in the media in this town. It's shocking. Now, we got a bigger microphone, or this thing wouldn't be passed around. We have 73,000 followers to the podcast. We have thousands and thousands of people listening every day. We have members of the media every day. Sports radio hosts listen every day. And I can call them out a million times on the podcast and get nothing. I post one little thing on X yesterday. Hey, look at this. Nobody else in the Kansas City media would dare retweet this. You're too afraid to lose your press pass. It's basically what I put on X. Oh, did that blow up? Folks in the local media didn't like that. Kevin's calling us out now. Yeah, I'm calling you out. You don't do your job. You just sit there with pom-poms on every stinking day, hoping for another trip to the Super Bowl and either Radio Row or your local newscast. You get to go anchor and do your thing, and everybody gets to go. And then we take our shows and we enter them for awards, and we win our little regional Emmys for our coverage, and we put them on the wall, and we go, "Wow, what a career I have! I cover the Super Bowl team, and I get free access, and I get a pass to the game, and I won an award, and I hung it right here in my cubicle." It's pathetic, is what it is. As we mentioned on yesterday's podcast, there should be no journalism awards. They shouldn't exist. They're a ruse. They're a complete joke. They're an absolute fraud. But it was a wild day. Rashee Rice's new lawyer, this is great. This guy, Royce West, this guy's awesome. Royce West is a state senator from Dallas. He's a Democrat. But Ray Hunt, Clark Hunt's uncle, Lamar Hunt's brother, is a donor to his campaign. Ray Hunt is he like single-handedly paid for the George Bush Library. He's the biggest Republican you've ever seen. Ray Hunt is the last surviving brother of the elder Hunts. He's in his 80s, and he gives more money to GOP and Republican causes. There is no more Republican family anywhere in America than the Hunt family. And they all went to SMU, and they're all Republicans. And yet, a quick little Google search to Royce West's campaign reelection, because he's been a state senator for a while. He's a lawyer from Dallas, has a law firm, but he's also in the state Senate, one of the 20 most powerful people in Texas, it is said, in Texas politics. He's a flaming left Democrat in inner city Dallas. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You know who I'm talking about. This is who and what he is. And there's Ray Hunt, one of his donors. Well, what do you know, Royce? We're going to need a favor here. The Hunt family's going to need a favor in return for all the money we've sent you, electing the other party that we don't believe in, because we know someday you'll be able to wash our hands too. And so Royce, one of the 20 most influential political and judicial system people in the entire state of Texas, is now Rashee Rice's lawyer. God, the Chiefs are the best. They're so good at this. I mean, you have to appreciate how thorough, you know, you don't hear it very often. I heard it very early on. People say, "Oh, Clark Hunt is cheap." I'm like, no, Clark Hunt's a lot of things. He ain't cheap. He's not cheap. He is not a cheap owner. I don't care what they say about the locker rooms or whatever he promised the players or any of that stuff. The apparatus that they have in place to be the football operation they are is wildly expensive. It should also be noted that Royce West at one point worked for Jerry Jones. Who's Clark Hunt's neighbor? Who's very influential with all the other NFL owners and Roger Goodell? They're going to call in all the horses on Rashee Rice, baby. Do not worry about this kid playing. He'll be back and playing, and this thing will be behind us, and nobody got hurt, and he wasn't drunk, and there were no guns, and it wasn't even at night. It was daylight, and he's a stupid kid, and he did the dumb thing, and he's really sorry, and he's going to do community service, and he's going to get better, and we're just going to play football. We'll leave that other stuff. We've talked about that. He'll come to training camp. He'll talk about it once. He'll say, "That's behind us. We're not ever talking about it again." And everybody in the media will go, "Just let me suck that up. Okay, you talked about it once. We'll never ask again. Keep giving me my passes. I want to go to the Super Bowl." It is absolutely comical. The industry is comical. I'll tell you what's not comical, your money. I want to tell you a very interesting story. I want to welcome a new sponsor to the podcast. And you're going to know the name because he was a guest a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, Aspen Wealth Management at aspenwealth.com. So Trevor and Tavis Holsinger, we've known the Holsinger, everybody knows the Holsinger family. The Holsingers built my house years ago. Members of their family owned nurseries. They were home builders. There's so many Holsingers, they're in a lot of different things. They're all related. Well, Trevor is the founder and president of Aspen Wealth in Kansas City. And they're patrons. And they'd reached out and said, "Hey, if you ever want to do a show on finances, we're your guy. I'll be your guy." I'm like, okay. So we go meet with them, and Jessica and I were leaving town for a couple of days, and I needed to do a couple of interview podcasts to put in the can. So when I was in Vegas, I could just hit send and the podcast would pop up. I didn't have to do a podcast from Vegas. That's how you do it. A lot of times when we do interview podcasts, we've got a day off or somewhere else doing whatever. So Trevor becomes the subject of that interview, and he's a patron, and his brother Tavis. Then a a week later, whatever, they come to the patron party last week and they see the turnout and all the people and all the patrons start talking to them. They'd gotten a couple of phone calls from him being on the podcast and whatnot. And they're like, yeah, these are the people we want to be with. We want to reach not just your patrons, but your full audience. Can we become a sponsor? I said, sure, we'll give it a shot. I've never done wealth management or finances. Even in radio, I've never tried to do anything in this segment. I said, but I'm more than happy to come on and tell the folks that listen to the podcast that I know you, I trust you, I believe in you. They do financial planning, investment management, corporate retirement plans for your company and plan management. They would ask the question, is Aspen the place for you? Aspen Wealth Management, 913-491-0500. A very unique, strange, and wonderful way to get a new sponsor on the podcast. Patrons offering to be a guest and offering expertise in what they do. Me accepting that, them then getting a response, then they come to the patron party and see it all and say, you know, we'd like to try this for a month or two and see if it works. They'd love to take a look at your finances, whether it's financial planning, investment management, taxes, insurance. They're your financial personal concierge. That's exactly what they are. Maybe you have a 401k you need to roll over or an IRA, or if you're a younger listener and you just don't invest, you need to start. And I mean start now, even if it's just a couple hundred bucks a month. Get it in there, get the tax break, let it sit for 40 years. That's what it's all about, man. And Trevor and Tavis would love to work with you. AspenWealth.com, 913-491-0500. Welcome, gentlemen. Welcome to the podcast, AspenWealth.com. What a crazy, crazy business I'm in. RFK Jr. Whoa, did this guy light it up on Monday. RFK Jr. went on CNN, which is fine. They like him. He's liberal. He's a Democrat. He's got a lot of things he's really left on and really liberal. But the things that really matter, he's not, which means he's an old school Democrat. He believes in a safe country, a closed border, a government that allows free speech, supporting police, a strong military. The things that are really crucial that everybody in both parties should agree on, he agrees. So you got to be careful when you're hosting your show, and I'm guessing Erin Burnett is getting something else burned today by her bosses at CNN because she had RFK Jr. on, and I'll leave it on here. This comes under the heading of don't ask the question if you don't know the answer. See, when you're a Democrat journalist, you don't ask a question unless you know the answer. You only ask things that are right in the wheelhouse that you know the answer. And boy, this didn't work out very well. Now, as a precursor, a setup to this, remember, RFK Jr., is in a new poll, his favorability rating with Americans is 47%. Trump's is 45. Biden's is 39. Now, that's not voter totals. That's just favorability rating. But he's nationally polling about 20 to 24% of the vote. He's clearly going to hurt Biden a lot more than Trump. And Biden is currently doing everything they can, making legal moves to keep him off the ballot in the swing states, especially. They censor big tech to silence RFK. And the worst thing of all, this should be absolutely be a crime. This is the worst thing any president in our lifetime has done in any election. This is worse than arresting Trump and all the other things. He will not allow the Secret Service to protect RFK Jr., whose dad and uncle were assassinated. He will not allow the Secret Service, Joe Biden personally stopping Secret Service from working with RFK Jr. as he travels the country in campaigns. This is just incredible, folks. It's nonsense. And RFK Jr. went on CNN and Erin Burnett asked the question that they love to talk about. Donald Trump is a threat to democracy. Uh-oh, this didn't go well for CNN.
When people talk about the threat to democracy that Trump poses, do you really think that that is an equal... Biden?
I can make the argument that President Biden is a much worse threat to democracy. And the reason for that is President Biden is the first candidate in history, the first president in history that has used the federal agencies to censor political speech, so to censor his opponent. I can say that because I just won a case in the Federal Court of Appeals and now before the Supreme Court. It shows that he started censoring not just me. 37 hours after he took the oath of office, he was censoring me. No president in the country has ever done that. The greatest threat in a democracy is not somebody who questions election returns, but a president of the United States who used the power of his office to force the social media companies, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, to open a portal and give the access to that portal to the FBI, to the CIA, to the IRS, to CISA, to NIH, to censor his political critics. President Biden, for the first president in history, to use the secret, his power over the Secret Service, to deny Secret Service protection to one of his political opponents for political reasons. He's weaponizing the federal agencies. Those are really critical threats
to
democracy.
Donald Trump, of course, tried to overturn a free and fair election. He tried to overturn one, right? He's still fighting in court.
Yes.
How is that not a threat to democracy?
Well, I think that is a threat to democracy. If trying to overthrow the election clearly is a threat to democracy. But the question was, who is a worse threat to democracy? And what I would say is, I'm not going to answer that question, but I can argue that President Biden is, because the First Amendment, Aaron, is the most important. Adams and Hamilton and Madison said, we put the guarantee of freedom of expression in the First Amendment because all of our other constitutional rights depend on it. If you have a government that can silence its opponent, it has license for any atrocity.
So just to be clear, you're saying you could make an argument that President Biden is a worse threat to democracy than Donald
Absolutely.
Trump. That's what you just said.
But who else has ever tried to censor, what president in history has ever tried to censor political opponents? What president has weaponized the federal agency?
RFK Jr. just unloading on CNN. No, Donald Trump is not a bigger threat to democracy than Joe Biden. Joe Biden is the worst threat to democracy. He's acting on things, using the government as a weapon against his political opponents. No, he's the worst. What he's doing is far worse. I love it, RFK Jr. And this happened on a day where the judge, Judge Marchand, had put all these gags on Trump in one of his cases. My mom always asks me about the Trump cases. I'm like, I don't pay attention to them because none of them is valid. They're all going to be delayed and extended and appealed. And what they're dumb. They're ridiculous cases. And we all know this. The Americans know this. The Judge Marchand put a bunch of gag orders on Trump last week that he couldn't talk about the lawyer, couldn't talk about the judge, all these things he can't talk about. So Trump said, well, he didn't gag me from talking about the judge's daughter. The daughter is a political operative for Joe Biden, Adam Schiff, a bunch of the Democrats. She received apparently millions in payments from Adam Schiff before, during, and after the impeachment of Donald Trump as a political operative. She's a huge, ginormous Democrat operative, booster, donor, fundraiser, all these things. The judge's daughter. This is what daddy taught her. So Trump goes and starts pointing all this out. And now here we are, like four business days later, the judge has issued a new gag order to Donald Trump that he can't talk about any of the people in the gag order before or their family members. The judge now says, I know my daughter. So he basically said, the judge is basically saying, my daughter is related to this case. Because there is a gag order that you cannot talk about her. She either is or is not related to this case. And the line all along is, well, it's his daughter. She's unrelated to this. She doesn't work here. She doesn't work for me, whatever. Now she's related to the case. And she's covered. And again, just like RFK was talking about right there, this is gagging free speech. This is what Democrats do at every turn. If freedom of speech is out there, if I'm allowed to say what I say in and around Kansas City, if Trump is allowed to say what he says and can't be gagged by these judges, it's always bad for the Democrats. But it is good almost across the board. What conservatives want to say with free speech is almost always good for the safety and security of Americans. When I tell you about the Chiefs fixing criminals on their team, it often leads to something bad. I pointed out to you that Britt Reid should not be coaching for the Chiefs. And it became a national story. And a year and a half later, he almost kills a girl because he's drunk at work. Folks, we tell the truth. We put it out there. It is good for people to hear. They don't always want to believe it. You cannot make them believe it, but we have to allow it. In this judge quieting Trump and Biden trying to quiet everybody and censor everything through big tech, ballot initiatives to keep RFK off, no Secret Service for a candidate, all of these things are the opposite of what any conservative would do. And I don't understand how we allow it. And I don't understand how such a huge percentage of our population don't see it and dislike it. Because when you poll people and you ask them, should big tech be censoring free speech? 80% of Americans will say, no, they shouldn't be doing that. But when they see it playing out in real time, they don't recognize it. They don't know it. They don't comprehend it or don't understand the evil nature of it. And to me, that's what's really bothersome. Okay, all of you out there know that Mike Lindell and MyPillow no longer have support of their big box store companies and shopping channels the way they used to. They've been a big part of the cancel culture, so here we go. Since they've been with KKHI, this is the biggest sale they've ever had at MyPillow.com. It is a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a problem solution, one product company. You're going to sleep better with a better pillow. Well, since then, with the help of his dedicated employees, they've got hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out on some of these products, they're having a $25 extravaganza at MyPillow.com. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Six-pack towel sets, $25. Brand-new four-pack dish towels, you got it, $25. First time ever, the premium MyPillows with all-new Giza fabric, any size, any loft level, even king size, just $25. This will not last. Order now. Go to MyPillow.com and use your promo code KKHI to get the $25 offer across the board. That includes premium MyPillows with all new Giza fabric, any size, any loft level, even king size, $25. And when you do, you get your free shipping on your entire order today. Period. $25 sale, free shipping on now. Rather make the phone call? This is easy. This number is dedicated for KKHI listeners. 800-923-9034. That's 800-923-9034. It is a $25 extravaganza at MyPillow.com. John and Heather Hutchins would love to hear from you this spring and talk to you about an amazing garage floor. They'll come right out, measure it up, show you the different color samples, tell you what it will cost, then they'll walk away and let you decide. No pressure ever. Never, never, never. They just kind of show you what it's all about, how it's going to work, what it would look like. And they'd even like to do other work inside your garage if you need that done. They can work with painters or cabinet installers or hang racks, all kinds of cool things. If you want to redo your garage, amazinggaragefloors.net, 913-901-7139. And there is no better time than the spring to seal your driveway and sidewalks to keep the erosion from happening. Give them a call. Call John or Heather at 913-901-7139, amazinggaragefloors.net. And play more golf this year with greatlifegolf.com. That's greatlifegolf.com. I play a lot at Canyon Farms in Falcon Ridge. If you'd like to join there, they've got a limited number of memberships available right now. If you join Falcon Ridge today, call my buddy Jay Elsey over there. If you want to join Falcon Ridge, I'll get you 1 month free. First month is absolutely free at Falcon Ridge. I'm referring you. They have a refer a member program going on right now as the member or podcast host, podcast boys referring me. You get a free month because I referred you. So just mention that when you call Jay at Falcon Ridge, 913-393-GOLF. If you want to look at all the courses, where you can play, where you can join, summer daily fees, they're all greatlifegolf.com. That's greatlifegolf.com. Or you can call any club directly and ask them about joining. It's Leanne at Canyon Farms. If you want to call Canyon Farms, ask for Leanne. If you're calling Falcon Ridge, ask for Jay. And they'd love to get you set up and get you in. Play more golf with Great Life Golf. All right, on to sports. And the Royals losing 6-4, falling to 1-3 on the season. And I can't remember a team doing so many things right and starting 1-3. The Royals had the best starting pitching in baseball through three games. Then Michael Walker went out and threw three shutout innings on the board last night to get started. Then the Royals built a 3-0 lead. Bobby Witt hit a home run. Of course he did. And they're up 3-0, and Walker gives up three, and the game's tied, and it stays tied. And it's a pretty good game. The Royals have done some nice things. The starting pitching's been very, very good. Bobby Witt's a freak. Salvi homered again. Royals are hitting. They've got seven different guys have homered. They've got a bunch of home runs. They're doing a lot of good things. But oh, that bullpen. Royals give up one in the eighth and fall behind 4-3. Then in the ninth inning, they get a broken bat single, put the pinch runner in. Steal second. I'm cool with that. Then keep in mind, Bobby Witt Jr. is in the on-deck circle. There's one out, which is the time to steal third. I get it. Royals steal third. He's almost out. And they reviewed it, and he probably was out, but they couldn't overturn it. That means with Garcia at the plate, if he makes an out, Bobby Witt Jr. never gets to the plate with a chance to tie the game in the ninth inning. Well, they get the sacrifice fly. It works before Bobby Witt comes up. The game gets tied 4-4. They go to the ninth. And, of course, the Royals give up a 2-run walk-off homer and lose. The bullpen is a disaster. A total disaster. Before the season gets out of hand, the Royals might want to look at a couple of the starting pitchers that they sent down to the minors and get them up here in the bullpen. Because clearly the Royals have starting pitchers that can pitch. And if you didn't make the rotation and you got sent down, you're probably better than some of the bullpen hacks I'm watching. This completely revamped bullpen is peeing its pants. It's embarrassing. Bobby Witt Jr.'s been, what, the best offensive baseball player this year so far? Through four games, he's had a better start than anybody. He was hitting .545 coming into last night. He homered last night, and he singled. Singled and homered. Two more hits. He's two-hit Witt, not Whit Merrifield. This is the real two-hit Witt. Guy's a freak, man. He is something else. Salvi's hitting. When you have a game where your starting pitcher pitches well, Salvador Perez and Bobby Witt both homer, and you don't win, you better look in the mirror and hit a panic button somewhere and go, we are broken somewhere. And right now they're broken in the bullpen. And good luck fixing it, because if you start out this bad, it's going to be in your head the entire time. It's comical how bad the bullpen is, because the Royals pretty much do everything else well. It's an absolute shame. Quite a shame. All right, on to some football news brought to you by Buck Disposal, online at buckdisposal.com. Tired of dealing with outdoor, out-of-town call centers? Well, how about a local company now for all your disposal needs? buckdisposal.com, 913-242-7695. The Finch Knife Company is now featuring the Hellfire Pocket Knife, available at Shields in Overland Park or online at finchknifeco.com. You should carry a Finch Pocket Knife with you every single day, everywhere you go, except the airport. FinchKnifeCo.com. Keep life from getting dull. And the Bluemont Hotel in Manhattan and Goolsby's Restaurant, Sports Bar, Indoor Entertainment Center inside the Bluemont Hotel is Manhattan's world-class destination. Manhattan is booming, second fastest growing city in America. There's a lot of business opportunities there, and many of you are spending some nights there. I hear from you. If you are, you should be staying at the Bluemont Hotel, not one of those cookie-cutter chains. Give them a call or log on to BluemontHotel.com. And if you're in Manhattan, swing into Goolsby's for a cold one. You can pour it right off the wall for yourself. It's pretty cool. And play some duck pin bowling or indoor golf or the batting cages. It's all in one place at the Bluemont Hotel on the corner of Campus and Aggieville. Okay, the Chiefs made some news yesterday, not related to Rashee Rice, in signing Carson Wentz, the quarterback, long-tenured quarterback. And this is an interesting signing. 1 year as a backup for the Chiefs. I think it's probably the best backup quarterback Mahomes has had. I don't think probably. I just think it is. I think Carson Wentz is a good player. I think he believes he's got an opportunity to kind of reset himself and reprove things in Kansas City, maybe learn a new offense. If Mahomes goes down for a couple of the games, show that, wow, he's suited to this offense. I think Carson Wentz, I'll be honest with you. I think Carson Wentz, if Mahomes went down for like 6 or 8 games, I think the Chiefs could do some serious winning with Carson Wentz. I am not throwing those games away. I feel pretty good about the Chiefs with Carson Wentz in there as the backup. And it just goes to show you how good they are at what they do. We're going to upgrade everything we possibly can. And so they bring him in. Here's the question I have. This is a little known thing. Carson Wentz is the best quarterback sneaker in the NFL. How about this number? 88% success rate in his career. He is 47 of 53 getting the first down, sneaking the ball on 4th and 1. Quarterback sneaks. That's better than Jalen Hurts. He was better at Philadelphia than Jalen Hurts at this. Jalen Hurts' percentage is 83%. So you think the tush-push has been good for the Eagles? Is that what Andy's doing? Is Andy just going to tell the whole world it's 4th down and 6 inches and we're tired of doing it the hard way? Mahomes is coming off the field. Wentz is going in. We're going to sneak it, and then Mahomes is going back in. Is that what Andy's going to do? Or, I mean, will there be certain situations he does it? Is it going to be routinely that he does it? They are not going to sneak Patrick Mahomes. That's obvious. I get it. I'm on board with that. They've got a guy that's the best in the business now in Carson Wentz. Will that be his role? Better than Kelce back there. Better than a fullback. Get under center. You're the quarterback. You handle the snap. I don't know the answer. I can't wait to find out. Would you have a problem? It's a legitimate question for any fan to ask them. Would you have a problem with Andy Reid taking Mahomes off the field regularly on 4th and let's say a foot or less? Would you have a problem with Mahomes being off the field and putting Carson Wentz out there to do the sneak? That's a legitimate question. Taking Patrick Mahomes off the field is a very difficult thing to do. But I wonder if that's where this thing is headed. I think it absolutely could be. College basketball. Iowa defeats UConn to go to the Final Four in the women's. Caitlin Clark had 41 points, 7 rebounds, 12 assists. There's no denying she is a great, great player. They win 94-87 over LSU, the most unlikable team you've ever seen. I mentioned the outroar of them not being out there for the anthem last night, but it turns out, everybody's saying, the Iowa coach said, well, we wouldn't have been out there either, except we look at the clock, how many minutes to game time, and that's when we leave the court. So we weren't leaving yet, and they decided they were going to play the anthem. And then they left and came back or whatever, or they came back out at a certain time. It had to do with the clock. Every team looks at the ticking clock up there and judges. I don't think LSU made any kind of a statement. But they're still unlikable, and I'm okay with saying that. How about this? Iowa and UConn advanced. North Carolina State and South Carolina have advanced. North Carolina State and UConn are in the Final Four in men's and women's. That's a pretty nifty trick right there. Way to go, Caitlin Clark. I'm not her biggest fan. I'm not, but it is undeniable what a talent she is. She is amazing, and she'll shoot from anywhere. You know, you'd take exception to the places that she shoots from, but she hit 50% from three. If you're hitting 50%, you can shoot from half court. Doesn't really matter where you shoot from. If you're making half of them, a ridiculous game for her as Iowa advances to the Final Four. A major announcement in golf next week, not this week, next week is the Masters. A major announcement. Finally, the LIV Tour and PGA Tour have agreed on something and are joining forces to do something really cool for golf fans. This summer, their first ever Ryder Cup style event. It will be a team match play event. Sounds like over 3 days at the TPC Sawgrass. The Island Green Course. This is going to be awesome, and they say they're going to do it every year. It's going to look like the Ryder Cup. They're going to wear uniforms. It's going to be LIV golfers versus PGA Tour, and they're going to play on an iconic course that belongs to the PGA Tour. This is a great, great idea. They're finally getting somewhere with the merger. They need to do more. They need to come together. They need to have crossovers and exemptions. They need to allow hot players to go play on the LIV Tour. you know, up-and-comers who maybe win a couple of events, swing over and play over there and see how they do. They need to allow Phil and Dustin Johnson and John Rahm and some of the others to come over and play some events here, like Pebble Beach. Let them cross over. They need to figure all this out, and I think they will. I think this is the beginning of that. They need to figure it out. BeStock.net is Kansas City's electronic superstore. You got to tell your friends about this. Spread the word. There is no place like it in America. We are lucky to have BeStock in Kansas City. There is no electronics outlet like this. Whether you're looking for a computer, a laptop, Apple products, Samsung TVs, LG, any make model, Vizio, they're all right there. Sony of your ownie. They've got them all at BeStock.net. Incredible specials, especially right now. 85-inch television specials, just $6.99 for a Samsung 85-inch. That's a ridiculous price. They're brand new, in the box, full warranty, ready to go. 14680 South Flaming Road or online at BeStock.net. Tickets for less. No fees ever. No fees ever. The ladies this weekend were all talking about concert season. They want to see Kenny Chesney. They want to see Eric Church. They want to see all these different people that are going to be playing. They're all coming. Arrowhead Concerts, Starlight Theater, Sandstone, or maybe you like to travel around a little bit. There's a huge IndyCar race in outside Des Moines every year. This year, on Saturday, the concert after the race is Eric Church, and on Sunday after the race in Iowa is Luke Combs. Are you kidding me? You can get tickets for any of these things. Ticketsforless.com. No fees added ever. Always use your promo code KKHI to save 5 to 15%. And you will just get the family and friends discount at Amini's if you mention the podcast. You go into Amini's looking for patio furniture right now, or many of you commented on a Twitter video I put out on Saturday watching college basketball here at the house. In the background, you could see my shuffleboard table that I got at Amini's. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. I've been bowling more than playing shuffleboard on there. I got the bowling pins. That's kind of fun. And you'll love it. They got all the great game tables and outdoor furniture at Amini's, online at Amini's.com. 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park, also in St. Louis, Tulsa, and Oklahoma City. This is Amini's. Our final today goes back to baseball. The Astros starter, Ronel Blanco, threw the first no-hitter of the season on Monday night. It's the earliest no-hitter ever in Major League history, and it comes in just the eighth start of Blanco's career. Blanco did not make it to the Major Leagues until he was 28. Blanco would not have made it out of spring training, except the Astros have two starting pitchers on the injured list, including Justin Verlander. So they said, let's bring the 30-year-old up who was going to the minors and not even making the team. And he's got to pitch game four. Somebody's got to fill in this spot in the rotation. And he goes out and throws a no-hitter against the Toronto Blue Jays. That is a great story. Who doesn't love baseball? This guy's supposed to still be in spring training and headed to minors, and he threw a no-hitter in the big leagues in just his eighth career start, the earliest no-hitter in the history of Major League Baseball. It happened on April 1, and it is not April Fool's Day. This, however, is. The Astros have now thrown four of the last seven no-hitters in baseball. Is that amazing? It's pretty amazing to do that considering where they play. Is it amazing that they have four of the last seven no-nos, or are the Astros cheating? You have to ask with that organization, don't you? You have to ask. The Astros won the game 10-0, but we love that story. And we thank you very much. Hey, listen, here's what would be great. If I'm going to make these videos, we're putting them on our Facebook page as well, at KKS Issues on X. Folks, a lot of you aren't on there. Just go on there and follow some people. Follow me. You know, follow. I'll tell you what I'll do. If you sign up for X in the next week or two and start following me, I'll get a list of like 10 other people that you should follow, and you'll love it. Great conservatives of people that you should follow. And you could just read their stuff and see what's going on in the world as it happens in real time. I'd love it if you followed me on X, at KK Has Issues, at KK Has Issues. And we have a Facebook page as well, KK Has Issues. Jessica runs that. It's not as active as the X account. I run the X. She does the Facebook. And to be honest, she's a little bit of a slacker. But I'm sending her the posts every day from X, and then she puts them up on Facebook. So they'll be there as well. I guess like us on Facebook. Is that what I'm asking you to do? Like us on Facebook. So follow us on Facebook. Follow, like, whatever it is you do on Facebook. I'm not on there. It's Jessica, but it's our page. It's the KKS Issues page, and she manages it. And if you guys get on her, if you get on there on Facebook and get on her a little bit, motivate her a little bit to do more stuff on Facebook. Help me out a little bit, will you? You know how uncomfortable that conversation is for me. Help me out a little bit. Motivate her a little bit. Get on Facebook and say, come on, Jessica, more content, more things. You post. Give us a recipe. Show us a dog picture. What are you doing today? Hey, send me a picture of you golfing on the weekend. Something. Get her active on there. Because she just reads and reads. She's on like Insta all the time following celebrities. Great. Post some celebrity stuff on our Facebook page. Tell her. She loves the one singer's wife. Oh, gosh. Oh, boy, this is terrible. He's the guy that is, he's okay. I love the guy. He's an unbelievable conservative, but I don't like his music as much as some of the other ones. He's the guy that you're, this is done. This is out of, I can't, I'm mind blocked. I'm live and this happens. I feel terrible. He's the dude that was on stage in Vegas when the shooting occurred. You know who he is. He's a stud. He's big time. And I can't believe I don't remember his name, but I don't really listen to his music. But she loves his wife. Great. Post his wife's stuff on there. Get it all out there for you. So go to Facebook and nudge her along a little bit, will you? At KK Has Issues on X. Give me a follow. I'll put a video up a little bit later. And you can make fun of what I look like, if nothing else. That's easy. A lot of people do that, I'm sure. They did it when I was on TV. I can handle it. Because I have issues.
Kevin Keatsman Has Issues has been presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet GMC and is produced by Crooked Tail Media. Please hit the like or follow button wherever you listen or give us a review. For premium content, podcasts, and weekly newsletter, join as a patron at kkhasissues.com for as little as $5 a month. Support all our sponsors and other conservative businesses at thekklist.com.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media, Incorporated.